Faith, give me a little 1-2.
1-2.
4.
3-4. 5-6. Check.
You ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They're like, this is the place on the trail where we found Don Freeman. We told him that the bench that he could lay down on was less than a quarter mile away, but really, it was a mile.
But that's nasty. Not nice, babe.
I'm just going to say, you have to raise your game right now, because this sucks. You're better than Scott. Scott, you are better.
I know. I'm better than this.
Welcome to another edition of Trail Runner Nation. I'm Don Freeman.
I'm Jimmy Dean Freeman.
And today we are not in our normal studio. We are at the Sports Basement in San Francisco.
We can call it our abnormal studio.
Yeah, we can claim this as one of our, what would that be, a satellite studio.
Definitely. Right?
And we have in front of us two very VIPs. You know, they get the soft cushion seats. If you go somewhere, they're eating the fresh strawberries while the rest of us are looking for some goo that might be left over from the last race. We have Nikki Kimball with us, and we have Jamie Jacobson. And I came across on Twitter, and Twitter's pretty effective, Jimmy Dean.
Some days.
And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden comes across, check out this movie trailer. And that's good with me. It said, check Nikki Kimball out and check this great event, The Long Trail, and her quest to do that. And so I clicked on that. And how long is that trailer, Jamie?
It's about 2.5 minutes, Don.
I watched it for 15 minutes because I kept rewinding it. It is an awesome trailer. I kept watching it and saying, man, what happens here? I want to see more. And so I emailed, not that I thought I would get a special, my own showing of the race,
yes,
of the
did.
Movie. I was hoping I did. And I learned that they're building this movie and they're creating some awareness. So that's why we're here today, to talk about Nikki Kimball's quest for the record-setting
FKT on the Long Trail.
Jimmy, what is an F word?
FKT is... relatively well-known term in long distance hiking, through hiking, fast packing, and ultra distance running. Stands for fastest known time. So there's a lot of trails out there, and in the trails that are even longer distance than some of the extreme events that we're accustomed to, 50 and 100 mile events, FKTs exist where certain parks might not permit an event to happen, like Grand Canyon, for example. There's an FKT there for both men and women. And a trail like the Long Trail, which is well too long to actually host a formalized event, is
273 miles.
Yes. So an FKT is appropriate in that you can't have an event that's a week long for the most part. I mean, there's a 7-day event over in Italy, the Tour de Giants or something that's about 200 miles, but it's not common for an event of that length. So FKTs exist so someone can go out and through hike or fast pack or ultra run these trails, and adds a little bit of another level of challenge. Some people will do it just to see how quickly they can do it. Some people will take their sweet time, and then there's Nikki Kimball.
Now Nikki Kimball, if you've been in and around the sport for any length of time, you know who she is, because she's always at the front of the race at the end. She is an amazing athlete, and I knew your name long before you even considered coming here, because who doesn't know Nikki Kimball? And she is you've won Western States and a number of races.
She won Western States 3 times in a row.
It's nice to have Jimmy on here. You know, he's like Wikipedia when it comes to trail running. You bring him in, you don't even tell him what the topic is, and you just start rolling, and off he goes. So
I'm a little bit like Rain Man with these statistics.
You are. You do that with baseball too, don't you? That's a sickness. That's an illness.
Don't get me started, Don.
I won't. So Nikki, how did you get started running? What brought you into the sport of trail running?
Well, I started in cross country skiing when I was, I think 3. I don't really remember the start of cross country skiing. And, you know, from as long as I can remember, my first goal in my life was to be on the U.S. cross country ski team for the Olympics. So, you know, you only have snow for a few months a year, and, cross country skiers have been trail running for as long as they've been racing in cross country skiing, because you have the off season and you have to remain fit, and trail running just works beautifully with cross country skiing. And, you know, in high school, I ran cross country, but I wasn't fast. I mean, I've never, even at my very fastest, I've never been able to do a 5K very fast. And, you know, those are the distances available to, you know, that's a sort of typical distance for high school. And then in college, you know, available to women in cross country skiing, or sorry, cross country running, you know, it's 5K. You know, the women don't get to run very far in college. And so, you know, so running was really just a mode of training for skiing. And then I went to graduate school in Philadelphia. Not much snow in Philadelphia. So I had to sort of switch gears. And so I started running longer distance runs, and trail runs are amazing trail races around Philly area. Really technical, really fun, a great trail community. And that's really where it started.
So when did you find out that you were fast? You know, you went to the 5K, you said, you know, I wasn't in the front there, but what distance was the tipping point where you go, you know what, I'm pretty good at this sport?
Yeah, it was probably the sub-ultra trail races and anything that was very, very technical. Unfortunately, I'm not as good at technical as I used to be. I think, you know, I've got a lot of miles on me and a knee injury that's, you know, sort of permanent. You know, prior to that accident, just there was never a downhill that would intimidate me. I mean, I'm a ski racer. And so my favorite thing about running is just finding the rockiest, gnarliest, muddiest trail I can find and bombing down it. I mean, there's just nothing that's as fun as dancing on rocks. It's just an incredible feeling. And that's really what brought me there.
Let me jump in here real quick, Don.
Yeah.
For those of you newer trail runners that might not know Nikki, while speed is something that could be used to classify what she does, I would say it's not the first two or three things that I would list. She's known for unmatched toughness and fearlessness. Like, if you haven't seen her run down a hill, I wouldn't even call it running. It's more like a, if you've ever seen a bear run after something down a hill, like, you're just not going to get in its way. And Nikki is unmatched in her downhill prowess. And obviously, I didn't even know where that came from with the downhill skiing, cross-country skiing background. That makes a little more sense. But she'll out-tough anybody out there. It doesn't matter what kind of speed someone that she's going up against has. The longer the distance, the more toughness required. And that's why she's excelled at the longer distances.
Right. You know, Scott Warr, who's usually here with us at on the podcast, he would love to hear that. He right now, because he'll listen to this, and has his fist in the air saying yes, because he's a downhill skier and he loves the downhills. And when he and I are running, he takes off in front of me and he does that dancing on the rocks. That's his favorite part. And his training came from downhill. So there's probably, you know, a lot of people with that can enjoy that and benefit from their training at downhill skiing. So what happens? You decide, hey, I want to do this long trail. And what is the long trail? Why don't you give, for those of us, and I'm included in that group, what is this long trail?
The long trail is one of the oldest hiking trails in the United States. It's certainly the oldest of its length. And it traverses Vermont lengthwise along the spine of the Green Mountains, starts in Canada, ends in Williamstown, Massachusetts. And the southern 100-ish miles of it are piggybacked on the Appalachian Trail. And that part gets a lot more traffic, so it's a lot less technical than the northern part. I mean, some people who've only seen the southern part of the long trail don't think it's all, you know, they think it's technical, but not so technical. And it's really the northern part that's just blows away the Appalachian Trail part.
Bouldering.
Yes. Ladders, many ladders.
Crevasses too.
And you'll see that on that trailer. You know, we'll link that to the podcast and a search of Finding Traction, which is the name of Jamie's movie and Nikki's movie, will get you there on Yahoo, I don't need to tell you a search engine. What I tried to say was on YouTube, and that's a great place to see it and plan to spend at least 15 minutes on that short clip. But you'll see some amazing scenes of Nikki going through these canyons and up the hills and traversing some of this. And it's exciting. It's ultra, ultra fun to watch and makes anybody want to just get out of their chair and go find a hill and start to run it. So How long have you wanted to run that long trail? Has this been something on your bucket list? I'm not going to use bucket list anymore. Has that been something on your list?
Yeah, it has. Actually, I first thought of it, I think I was about 13.
Wow.
When I first heard...
Don't worry about that. When Jimmy's in the store, it usually alerts the authorities.
Got myself a sweet new baseball cap.
He's in the back here with the stash of Sierra Nevada beer that they're using for the party tonight. And
but it's all okay because security hasn't gotten here yet. So
that's
we're
right.
Okay.
We have a lot of
gotta go, guys. See you later.
We have a lot of the beer in front of the door. They can't get in. So how long have you wanted to do this?
The long trail. I first thought about doing it for speed. I was about 13 and it wasn't my idea. Somebody had told me that the men's U.S. ski team, cross-country ski team, had set some sort of record on it. And to this day, I can't find that information. I think it was, I think a bunch of guys probably relayed it, did it as a relay on the U.S. cross-country skiers. And I'd love to know who those men are, but it was definitely talked about in our circle. And I was thinking then, like, that's great. I want to do that someday. And so it's really, it's one of those things that just comes from my childhood.
And you look at cross-country skiers, those are some of the most fit athletes, their whole body's involved in it. Their thighs, I'll look at women, men's thighs on that because it's just incredible. Just the anatomy and the size of the glutes and the hamstrings and the quadriceps. Just amazing watching them in action.
We have an opportunity here, Don.
What's that?
We have a great listener body that can help us find this information. Somebody out there can find what this U.S. cross-country ski team record was on the long trail. First person to send it to Don, he's going to give you something special.
10 Cocopellis, and Scott will send those performance-enhancing temporary tattoo Cocopellis, which you two will leave with. It will help with any athletic event and with healing. It will help with, if you're a student, it'll help with your grade point average. And if you put it on your cell phone, it'll help with cell coverage. They're just amazing. So we'll make sure that you get some when you leave.
They do everything.
If we collectively put them on our foreheads, we could probably name that ski team. It's possible, but we have other things to talk about.
It'd be dangerous. We need to move on.
All right. So, 13 years old, you're thinking about this, and then you're an ultra runner. You have great achievements. And so when does it come as you're winning these 100-mile races and another one that you said, I've got to go out there and run the long trail. When does that become I'm going to put my finger on a calendar and do it?
Yeah. The idea was 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, one of the things about being a North Face athlete, they were encouraged to come up with expeditions. Mm-hmm. They love it when we're racing and that's fantastic. They support us with that. But they're also interested in their athletes doing interesting things and pairing those interesting things, hopefully with some charitable effort, that kind of thing. And so the genesis of this idea, I think came out of a athlete summit, 2.5 years ago or 3 years ago. And my teammate Tracy Garneau and I were going to do, the long trail in 2011 as sort of a woman expedition, make money for Girls on the Run Vermont. And we had it all planned and everything was really great. And so that's really the genesis of it. And, unfortunately we were interrupted by a little lady named Irene.
Mm, yeah. Right. So it's postponed. And then I want to figure out how you two got together because we do have a fourth mic here and we haven't let her speak. She's probably the most qualified out of the three of us, with the exception of maybe Jimmy, to actually be recorded. She is a professional film producer, right? You are degreed and have experience. And so how did you hook up?
Yeah, that's a great question. Got into filmmaking in grad school at Montana State University, and they have a program in science and natural history filmmaking. And I was fascinated with running. I read Christopher McDougall's book, Born to Run, Bernd Heinrich's book, Why We Run, and just learning out about how human beings, they can outrun any animal over long distances. And I just thought this topic was fascinating. And some of my friends, film buddies from school, and I got together and we were thinking, gosh, it'd be awesome to make a film about running. But we didn't have a character. And we thought, we really need to have a human element to this story and to make it interesting and compelling. And coincidentally, around that time, my colleague and one of the co-producers on this project, Rick Smith, met Nikki in an airport, right?
Yeah, it was in the airport coming home from the athlete summit where Tracy and I cooked up this idea.
Oh, so the stars are aligning, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, really aligning, because the only reason I was on his plane is because my plane was late. And so I got bumped back to meet Rick.
So the trail gods are in action, right? They're stopping, slowing trains down.
Well, I think I was wearing one of those Coca-Pelli stickers.
Yes, you were. He catches on quick, Jimmy Dean.
Nikki invented the Coca-Pelli sticker.
You know, we thought we stumbled on it, but she put it in front of us. So, yeah, okay, I'm with you. So back to the story.
So Rick tells us, hey, you know, I met Nikki Kimball, and she's going to do this quest on the Long Trail. She's trying to run 273 miles in 4 days and become the fastest person in history to run the trail. Like, that is amazing.
Yeah.
And we said, wow, this is a story. Let's call her up. Let's find out, you know, maybe we can make a film about this. And we gave Nikki a ring. I should say I am not an ultra runner. I'm a swimmer at heart. I'm way more comfortable in the water than I am on land. I'm terribly clumsy. So it was a sport I knew really nothing about. And that was another reason that I was interested in this project, was just finding out, like, what is ultra running? What's it all about? What is this world like? What motivates this woman to, who's now become my friend, like, to do this? Like, who is she? What is going on here?
Yeah.
And we went out, actually, I think it was in January or February of 2011, up in Pipestone, Montana, and we filmed Nikki running in the snow to try and see, could we make this interesting on camera? What is she like? What is her story? And put together a trailer, and it was a hit. And the rest is history.
Now, keep your thought. Don't lose your train of thought. What did you think, Nikki, when someone calls you up and says, hey, we want to make a movie about you, because this is one of my, you know, I have this fantasy all the time. How did it play out in real life?
It was pretty cool. I mean, I've always wanted to see women get more press in sport in general. I mean, I'm sick of looking through the sports pages and seeing, you know, four pictures of men on the front page and no women. And then, you know, on page B6, there's, you know, some woman who just won a world championship and something, but we didn't really care about that. So that was exciting. And I don't mean to say that women don't get any credit. I mean, we have come, in my career of ultra running 13 or 14 years, we have come so far. I mean, we're just in such a better place than we were, even a decade ago. I mean, it's just fantastic. But, you know, I haven't seen any movies about women ultra runners. And so that was exciting, because that's where my passion is one of my big passions is sort of women's equality in sport. And so that was a big part. And then for me personally, I mean, I my fastest running days, I think, are behind me. And yet I can still do these super long things. Mm. So, you know, I don't think I have anything more to prove on the race circuit. And I also don't think I have the speed anymore. I mean, I've just run so many miles and I've had a couple accidents. I don't have the speed to be winning the big stuff frequently like I used to. And so, you know, where does my career go from here? And where do I take it? Because I still love this sport. I still want to be really, really involved in this sport. And here's this great opportunity that lands in my lap. I mean, I couldn't say no to that.
Absolutely. You know, what I've noticed really maybe over the just last 3 years, how many, and you guys can talk to this, how many more women are coming up on the trail when we're running? It's just like more and more. I would say, you know, we're getting, there's more women than men, it seems, when we're out there.
Well, you look at marathoning is close to 50-50.
Wow.
450,000, 500,000 people a year in the United States. There's a gender balance there for participation. Whereas ultras, you know, 7-8 years ago, in a 100-person field, you might have 10-15 women.
Yeah.
With a race like Western States, you're seeing a little bit of gender equality to the point that women are almost 40% of the field, 45% of the field, but that still doesn't represent the whole body of ultra running. It's still, I don't know if we can say women are smarter and not doing these long
distances. Women, not me, are smarter.
That's a dangerous comment, Jimmy.
Well, look, I understand that I know my audience here, and these two ladies wouldn't take offense to their superior intelligence, but the other the interesting thing about ultra running is that the further the distance, the less there seems to be a gap between men's talent and women's talent. If you look at, you know, just the marathon world record, for example, that's not that far apart at this point. And 100-mile races, I'm surprised if I go a month in Ultra Running Magazine without seeing a woman win one of those races outright. So it's definitely a different playing field. And, you know, it's no secret that women metabolize fat more efficiently and definitely have a lot more toughness in a general sense than most of the men. So
childbirth.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
Throw that in there. Throw in the obvious.
100-miling is men's childbirth. You know, it's a way for us to experience and try and understand, even though we never will. But
so we're told.
You know, something that I always find intriguing about a project like this is the symbolism, the title. Who came up with Finding Traction, and what does it mean to you?
Great question, Jimmy Dean.
That's an excellent question. We actually, I should give a little bit of the backstory here.
Yeah.
The film originally was titled The Long Trail, and we really liked the dual meaning, both literally and figuratively, that The Long Trail had, both Nikki running the run on the long trail and this long journey that she was embarking upon. But it turns out the film was trademarked or the term was trademarked. So we had to change the title, and it was actually terribly difficult to come up with something that had any, traction, so to speak, with the team. But, we just did a group brainstorming session, largely over email, like throw out your ideas. Took a couple weeks. We voted on it, took all of the, members of the film crew, Nikki support team, friends and family, cast their votes, and Finding Traction was the winner. And I think what we liked about it, to be honest, we wanted a title that was a little bit more abstract and artsy and could be interpreted in a lot of different ways, get people to want to see the film, like Finding Traction, like what is that about? You know, it implies a quest that you're searching for something. And I think that we can find traction in our lives in a lot of different ways, whether it's through running or something else.
Right.
So I liked the symbolism of the journey that Nikki went on in her quest, and the journey that I think our viewers will go on when they watch the film.
It's a great title.
It is. I mean, it's not only the journey on the trail itself, but women's journey, right? Finding traction, getting from page B6 up to the front page where they belong when they make a great accomplishment. So yeah, love that title.
Thank you.
And it's a nice graphic too, you know, because it's on Twitter and you can find it at Finding Traction, right? And
correct.
So it's attractive. Looks good. I see shirts. I see bumper stickers. I see.
We've got a lot of swag.
Yeah.
We've got stickers. We've got shirts.
Nice.
Tote bags.
You know what? We have a board here full of stickers. I do not have a Finding Traction sticker. We need
you
to.
You will by the end of this.
Very nice. Very nice.
Another thing that's going to help everyone this weekend remember Finding Traction is the North Face Endurance Challenge events are happening in Marin tomorrow and Sunday. And every single one of the runners, I'm going to say, is going to be trying to find traction in a very muddy, messy race. So they're going to be thinking about the film the entire day as they're finding traction.
You know, and we can get very philosophical, which sometimes we do on this podcast. You know, we always have to find traction in life, right? I mean, it runs deep, your title. So that's nice. You know, sometime back, a moment ago, we were talking about women not running as far at some point in the not too distant past. And I remember we had Chris McDougall on, who you brought up earlier about the book, and he tells a story about, it wasn't long ago, and I'm sorry, Jimmy, you might know because you're Jimmypedia over there, of the women were encouraged not to run 26 miles because it was potentially dangerous for their uterus, that their uterus would fall and they would have issues if they ran that far.
1984 was the first women's Olympic marathon.
Dang, Rain Man. I mean, you are coming up with some serious stuff. You're going to get a nickname, Jimmy.
Yeah, we as a society should be embarrassed about these types of things. I mean, 84 will always be remembered for Los Angeles and Joan Benoit Samuelson and just an unbelievable event that really... As far as I'm concerned, the 84 Women's Olympic Marathon is as epic a legend as Pheidippides' run itself. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
I've got a question about training. Training for that 273 miles, how did that look different than training for 100 mile?
Well, you know, one of the things I did for that was I just stacked races on top of each other the spring before. You know, I entered Western States having done in four ultra. It was my fourth ultra in 6 weeks, and I don't usually like to go into Western States tired, but I just made myself as tired as I could at that start line.
Wow!
And because I knew I'd have pressure on myself to perform, you know, because I'm not going to be, you know, I don't know. It's just it's Western States.
Sure.
I
mean,
Nikki doesn't dog it.
Yeah, but to go in there tired, I mean, that's because there's got to be points during
it
the
hurts.
Race. You go, man, I need springs instead of these cement, you know, cylinders I'm carrying right now.
Absolutely. But, you know, I was about to embark on something a lot tougher. Mm-hmm. I mean, just, I can't even tell you how much tougher it is than Western States, but it is, I mean, it was definitely, you know, the long trail ended up being, you know, some of the lowest lows I've ever had, and, you know, and places I'd never been in my head. And even doing Western States tired this year didn't approximate that as much as maybe it should have. You know, I hadn't experienced some of that stuff.
So can we call the long trail a 10 of level of difficulty? Can we do that?
Yeah, I think we can.
So that's your 10. What's the most difficult race you'd experience prior to that? Because it's not going to be a 10 because you just told us. How much harder is this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it'd probably be a 7.5 at Ultra Trail du Mont Blanc. And I went into that, you know, having, you know, the year I did that race, I had run a full spring series, and then I won Western States, later won in the end of July, 50-mile championships up at White River in Washington, and then, you know, a few weeks later went out and ran UTMB. And, you know, UTMB, I did well there, but it certainly, I think the buildup of racing to that, it certainly wasn't my best race. But it was very hard. I mean, it's a lot of climbing, a lot of descent, and, you know, that gets a 7.5 or an 8.
Wow.
So anybody wondering about that who maybe hasn't done any of these races, UTMB would be like breaking your wrist, falling off of a bike, and the long trail would be like shattering your femur.
Got it. Hit by a locomotive and drug for 100 yards.
Yeah.
Okay. back to the movie. All right. So now you've got the plot, you've got the character, you have where you're going. Give us some more logistics. How are you going to pull this off? There's 273 miles and a camera on your shoulder. I mean, what were you thinking?
I was scared. Yeah, I can't even say it. You know, I mean, it was, I've never done anything like this before. And it was challenging to try and figure out how to film it when, you know, you talk to Nikki and say, well, what's going to happen out there? What are your plans? And the plan was, there was no plan. You just go with it. Anything could happen. As her pacer, Dennis Ball, said, anything can happen in ultra running. And that was really true. It was just the world was our stage, and it was all about embracing the unknown, a lot of insurgency. Trying to track a moving target over nearly 300 miles is incredibly difficult.
Yeah, how did you keep track of her? Did you have a GPS or something that you could kind of watch what was happening?
We had a spot.
Yeah.
Turns out they don't work so well. Absolutely not something I would have with a canopy. And it's a, you know, it's not even like a rainforest. I mean, it's just New England trees. I think it was supposed to map me every 10 minutes. I think it worked twice. I think, you know, in the entire time, we had two times that it actually connected with the satellite.
Thank goodness for those two times.
Absolutely. It was really good to know when I was at the top of J Peak.
This podcast brought to you by Spot. So tell us some of the story behind the scenes, because we have you in front of us. How do you film? How do you get the shots that you have?
Let me jump in and piggyback on that really quick.
Please.
In such a unique environment, trying to capture something that hasn't been done before in the way that you guys are trying to capture it. Did you draw on any other extreme adventure type documentaries? Like one of my favorites is Dust to Glory, you know, where it's just, you're capturing such a unique happening. Did you do a little homework? Did you consult with any other filmmakers that did something obviously not the same, but like another extreme, and kind of get some ideas about it?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely tried to do my homework in the past and just talk to anybody and everybody to try and get as much information about the terrain, about our options, technical options. And a lot of it was just really consulting with our with my film team and brainstorming and trying to figure out what is the best way to tackle it, given the resources we have. We don't have endless cash. In fact, we had a very limited budget. So, you know, how do we take this on? And I have to give it to Nikki's Pacers. Two of her primary pacers, her best friend Jenny Pierce and good friend Dennis Ball, they hauled these GoPro cameras that we had up and down the mountains. I mean, Dennis was awesome. When I first met him, I had never met him before. I said, Dennis, can you run with this camera? I mean, you're going to be summiting these pieces with Nikki. We have to record what's happening. Can you do this? And he's like, oh, girl, I got you covered. You know? I text, I take pictures, I talk on my phone all when I'm running. You know, just the incredible multitasker and very talented guy. So both he and Jenny were really adept at running and filming. And, I mean, the long trail, for those of you who haven't been on it, I mean, it is single track. Mud, rocks, roots. I mean, you can't really. We actually had a lot of great experiences filming Nikki in the Rocky Mountains, where it's just open terrain, vistas. You can see her coming from miles away. You can run next to her. One of our co-producers and the director of photography on the project, Danny Smith, has a Steadicam, which allows him to. It's literally like a big vest, kind of a suit of armor with a camera attached, and it allows the camera to stay very smooth and steady. And he often ran next to Nikki at different events that she did, but that simply was not feasible on the long trail. Like, we could not get our camera crew up there with large equipment. And the cameras we were using, I mean, a lot of this film was filmed on a Canon 7D. It's a little DSLR camera, relatively small, but the terrain was extremely difficult. So we really, the film crew and the sport team were one and the same on this project. It was an incredible group bonding experience. And we really, there was a lot of overlap and creativity there.
There's some great angles in that just from watching the trailer. I mean, cameras coming from the bottom up, from the top down. I'm trying to picture where some of these people were hanging out, you know, inside of trees. I didn't know. It looked cool.
They put GoPros on monkeys. They were everywhere.
They'll be in the credits, right? The monkeys, we'll be able to see them.
Each and every one of them.
now you mentioned which movie? Dust of Glory?
Dust to Glory.
I need to see that. What is
it? It's a
movie
about the Baja 1000. Mm. Just Google it.
All right, I'll do it. How about Unbreakable? Did you see, because that's been a recently J.B. Benna film. Did you get to watch that, look at it, study it, get some ideas? And because I'm sure all artists, you know, collaborate somewhat.
Yeah, you know, I've seen the trailer of Unbreakable. I missed the screenings and I haven't been able to see it yet. Although I hear that I think it's now available for download. So I'm really excited to check it out.
And DVD sales, those are out there. And what a great movie. It's we saw it last year. It was its world premiere.
One year ago this weekend.
At the Sports Basement. And quite a tradition here at the Sports Basement. They're really giving back to the sport. You know, you have North Face Challenge. 50-mile?
Endurance Challenge.
Endurance Challenge. Thanks, Jimmy. I was looking for guidance there. And it's become a bit of a tradition for a movie before the big race. So it's a nice... That's what's great about the ultra community. And you've learned that, Jamie. A good group of people. Yeah. And one of the things that Nikki said about Pennsylvania, you said...
Yes, yep.
A lot of questions. I should throw it out
kudos
there with authority.
To remembering something, Don. Nice work.
A question mark at the every end of every sentence. A great community there too.
It's absolutely. Just, I mean, I didn't go to graduate school in Philadelphia expecting to see, you know, to find these trail aficionados. Hmm. I mean, and I just, you know, I mean, and these people are amazing. And you've got a lot of the Hash House Harriers there who are just the funniest people ever. I mean, it's a great sport, and that's, you know, just. You know, my first trail race there was really quite gnarly. And, you know, about a mile before the finish line, this big beer stop. And that's the only thing at the aid station. I mean, it's just fantastic. I mean, they're, you know, yes, it's about competition, but it's more about just getting a bunch of like-minded people or like-minded in that we love to be outdoors. We don't mind getting muddy. We don't mind falling down. This is what we do for entertainment. This is our social life. And that was my introduction to real trail running.
I think that people aspect, too, is something that was really primary in the filming. Your question at first stumped me a little bit as far as, you know, how you go about filming the expedition. And that was a logistical nightmare in some ways and a key concern. But I think I was actually more focused on I mean, a lot of my films are character-based. It's about the story. And I think at a fundamental level, we needed footage of Nikki running, of the actual expedition. But you can only show somebody running past the camera so many times. There has to be more to it than that. And I think a lot of the challenge of this project was trying to figure out, well, how do we convey the journey that Nikki's on? Who is she as a person, as an athlete, as an individual? What is her passion? What drives her? And that was really the heart of the story and trying to figure out how to capture that. And the running, you know, was a huge part of that. But my focus was really on trying to craft that side of the story during the expedition.
So we get to watch the expedition, but then we also get to learn an overall story, the quest of all women, as you were saying, for recognition and for also just letting us observe that, boy, they're real athletes too. That's not going to come across very well, Jimmy.
Get to know Nikki Kimble and why it's important to support women in sport, especially girls at a young age.
I have two daughters, and so I am definitely interested in that message. So we will definitely be watching the movie.
Dawn's daughters will see it.
They will. So where are we at now with the film? What you have a room full of reels or what happens?
Yeah, what happens next is we edit it and we put it together. Very exciting. We've done most of our filming. I think I want to do a little more work with Nikki to really get the lowdown. Now that a couple months have passed since our expedition, you know, what happened out there?
We missed that. What was the time frame? When did this happen?
We started in August 13th, 20, the third week in August.
August 2012.
Yes. Right.
In between hurricanes.
Oh, there's that.
Hey, that could have inspired the, if you had a hurricane 4 days out,
yeah,
finish it quicker.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Or if we knew the hurricane was coming.
So
For a while, we didn't even know if this film was happening because, you know, our original idea, we started this project kind of end of 2010, early 2011 was really the genesis of the idea to tell the story. And we documented Nikki's training that spring and summer, getting ready for her original expedition. Hurricane Irene blew in and changed everything. And, you know, there was a moment there where Nikki and I were calling each other and just saying, like, are we still doing this? Is this run happening? Is this film happening? What are we going to do? And, what ended up happening was at the end of the day, we both said, this project is happening. Mm. We're committed to this. We are going to make it happen. And maybe it's not on the timetable we expected. It's not if the project is happening, it's when. So when was really the summer of 2012, a couple months ago, that Nikki did her expedition. We did the filming of it to complement all the other filming we'd already done. And we're very close to being wrapped on that. We want to hear a little bit more about what happened and kind of going back to the story element, fleshing out what was going on in Nikki's head, a little bit more of the backstory.
Yeah.
And we're really getting ready to enter post-production now, which is the editing process, graphics, music, all the design and composing and really just putting this thing together.
Yeah, we want to talk about how we can help as trail runners because the trail community is big on volunteering. So there's a chance for us to pitch in and get some trail hours, if you will, with the help on this film. But I would like to make an observation that these hurricanes do have female names. There's plenty of recognition for this female.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Talk about something strong and powerful.
Yeah, I mean, what are you complaining about, Nikki? You've got the hurricane. What do you want?
Hurricane Nikki took the long trail.
You want the earthquakes too? What are you, volcanoes?
Yeah, can bring it all on.
All right, you got it. So what can we do as trail volunteers to help in this film?
Well, right now we are applying for a number of grant applications to finish the film. We want to raise $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lofty goal. Never tried to raise that much money for a project, but I know we could do it. And right now what we really need to do is put together some longer edits to submit with these applications. And we're trying to raise, currently we have a crowdfunding campaign on a site called Indiegogo. And you guys might be familiar with Kickstarter. It's basically a very similar platform. We just had the pleasure of actually meeting the Indiegogo staff today. We were down at their headquarters. And amazing group of people really trying to get a lot of creative projects off the ground and have done a lot to promote our film. And so what we have on that site is basically you can go and view our trailer read about our project, and it's a place where people can be a part of our efforts and help us make this film happen. You know, you can have a beer on the film, donate $5, all the way up to $2,500, and you get a personalized run with Nikki at that contribution.
Well, I don't want to run out in the parking lot with you today. If we run out there to get something, not an official run, right?
Exactly, five
grand is a little steep for me right now.
Yeah, I don't know why I don't have any running partners anymore.
Yeah. So you know, we would all have loved to give Nikki a couple of goos on the run, right? If we could stand alongside and say, here, and pull them out of our pocket, you can essentially do that with a $5 donation, right?
Exactly.
Goo up for Nikki, guys. And, you know, that's not outside of our trail running budget. So I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I really care about this story. And I have to say, we could not do this without our fans, without the community that surrounds both the ultra running community, the filmmaking community. It's our friends and our family and our colleagues and our classmates and our community members that have really come out behind this project. And they are going to help us pay our bills to make this film as best as it can be. And our goal is to have it broadcast nationally across the country. We want to submit it to film festivals. And ideally, we'd love to do community screenings. We were just here at Sports Basement Presidio last night. We had over 300 people in the audience. It was a great event. There were runners, race directors, community members, athletes, you know, young and old. There were six-year-olds running around. There were, you know, folks in their 70s, 80s, 90s. It was amazing. And it's really a place for people to come together and share their passions for running, for the outdoors, and for inspiration. And I hope that one of my dreams is that Nikki and I can go on tour with the film and bring this story to people across the country. And if we raise enough money, we'll be able to do that.
And when you raise enough money.
You got me, Jimmy Dean.
You know, when I was reading, because you have it in there, who you're looking for and what you're going to spend the money on. And you're not trying to make a car payment with this or build your next summer home. You have a long list of very technical people that, if you think about some movies that we see on credits, how many names roll past that? The quality of your trailer that you have there, and I imagine the whole film will be like that. You're not going to go all of a sudden into some crazy animation stuff after and a trailer like that. It is the highest quality, and you're setting the bar there, and you're just going to make that happen. So your contributions that you're asking for appear to me to be going to the right place. You have a great vision.
Yeah.
I just love the looks of that.
Yeah, and when Jamie said, you know, this was everything we've done has been on a low budget. I mean, Jamie has been doing this pretty much as a full-time job for the last several months and as a part-time job for a couple years, you know, for a year and a half before that. And she has not given herself a penny for this. You know, coming down to promote the film here, we both, you know, just dug in our pockets and came down here. And, you know, so this is definitely not money, you know, just going to Jamie. This is going to the film.
Nikki Kimball, the main character. What are you getting paid for this, Nikki? Is she dropping $1.5 million on you? Because that's what you're worth.
Yeah.
I just want you to know. You should have came to me first.
She promised me another Coke Zero at the end of the interview.
Oh, man. All right. Very good. Well, Jimmy, do you have some, I know you're sitting there probably with all kinds of things to say.
I have nothing to add.
Well, I've got, how about you, Jamie? What are your thoughts? What's the projected date to finish this? Where's the goal?
Yeah, we hope to have the film done by spring or summer 2013, pending fundraising, of course. You know, as we mentioned earlier, I've got an amazing team of people working on this project, and I'm looking for money now to hire basically the same people that have worked on the project too now to keep working. Our editor, music composer, graphic artists, designers, sound designers. And looking forward to getting this thing out there in the world. And hopefully we'll have it air and be taking the film on tour as early as next summer, possibly into the fall and the winter. There's a little bit of pressure now that we've been drumming up support, I think, for the project. Everyone, you know, the first question they ask is, when is the movie coming out? When is it going to be done? And I'm really excited about reaching that point when we're, you know, it's exciting to share the small clip we put together, but I can't wait till we have the full film. It's going to be awesome.
You have a good partner because Nikki doesn't lose. So it's good that you guys continued even after the filming to push it and to get out there and find the end, which would be awesome.
And if you are not a film editor, it is extremely difficult and time. It's a huge time drain. It's one of the most difficult things I've seen post-production, watching someone look at all the captured footage, figure out what belongs. How many hours of footage did you guys capture?
Too many cameras,
4 days. I mean,
hundreds and hundreds of hours of film.
It's going to take her a couple months just to watch all the footage. So in the meantime, you guys all need to donate what you can. You know, if $5 is all you got, fine. If you can donate 50, put 50 in. If you can do 500, make this movie happen. And you'll be a part of making an awesome story that needs to be out there to, you know, if nothing else, inspire young women to take on big, big dreams.
And I think one of the other things you can do, you know, maybe, you know, you're a student, you don't have any money, but social media is working really well for this. And, you know, if you can encourage others, you know, put it on your Facebook page, tweet about it, do that kind of thing. And you know, that's what, and we are a community, and, you know, we really want people to be a part of this, and it's a community effort. And, you know, I think this film is going to show that this is, you know, this was not a one person effort. This was definitely a team effort. And, you know, and the thing I love about this sport is that we do all support each other. I mean, 100-mile race, and I'm up against somebody who, you know, I want to win the race, she wants to win the race, but we're also helping each other to get to the end as fast as we can. And, you know, I just, that there are many ways you can help.
Awesome. Well, Jamie Jacobson, Jacobson, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming here, and we will link Indiegogo, correct?
Indiegogo, yeah.
Indiegogo. We'll link that so people can get right to it from the podcast, or they can just search it on
perfect. Yeah, on the Google site. You can watch the trailer. You can read all about the project and the people who are working on it. So we'll send that link out.
Good, good. We'll actually take a picture of this setup in our satellite studio so people can see what this looked like. And so that will be on the podcast. Jimmy Dean, if we wanted to find you, we will go to...
lots of different places.
At Coach Jimmy.
Twitter.com. Coach Jimmy Dean, and coyoterunning.com.
Awesome. Nikki Kimball, thank you very much. An elite athlete, a true champion, and we sure enjoyed the time spending here with you and talking about the long trail. So thank you so much. You bet.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. Trail Runner Nation, go to the website, trailrunnernation.com. Take a look at the new trail gear that we have out there. Take a look at the, what else we look at? I don't have anybody here to lean on. Faith isn't here. Scott's not here.
Thing falls apart when Faith isn't here. Ever do that again.
She's the glue. Scott's the mortar. And I'm just here. They shouldn't even let me out. They should put a key on this equipment so I can't leave town and do this kind of stuff. So thanks, guys, for letting me do it. And I guess we'll have to do some editing to make it sound like a real podcast at the end. I'll go out and run.
Moss.
Nice, Jimmy. Well, we weren't done with this podcast, and we thought we were. And as we're sitting here at this table brainstorming and having a great time, we came up with an idea. And Jamie, why don't you introduce this idea to us?
All right. Well, one of the awesome things about the Indiegogo campaign is that there are prizes. There are perks.
So, swag.
Swag.
We all know what that is in this community.
And we were talking about these amazing Cocopelli temporary tattoos that Trail Runner Nation has, and Don just gave me one, and it is awesome, and I think our fans are going to love it. So we want to offer these. Trail Runner Nation wants to offer these as a perk as part of our campaign. So starting, I believe, which day? December?
Yes. Sixth.
Sixth?
Seventh. Because seventh is a lucky number.
Okay.
December 7th.
December 7th. We are going to offer, for donating $6 to the project, Cocopelli Trail Runner Nation temporary tattoo. Awesome. And a Finding Traction sticker.
A Finding Traction sticker. And you can place that somewhere and claim that you have contributed to a film. And you know, you look at your portfolio. How many of you can say that you've really donated and helped put a film into circulation? Well, for $6, you can not only wear a Cocopelli, but become a film producer. What would you be? A film something. What's that word? Film Jimmy? Creator? A film?
Producers put money into the movie.
All right.
In addition to doing other things. It'd be a co-producer or junior producer.
You don't have to tell people what the size of the donation, because size doesn't really matter, does it?
No, it can be completely anonymous.
Yeah. All right, so go to the link and help the cause.
Thanks, everybody. We really appreciate your support.
Now keep running.